Thank you for joining us on the 49th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Before we get started with all that noise, we have a quick Final Girls update for you. Dun-da-da-da! We are now on Patreon.com. What is Patreon, you ask?
What is Patreon?
Oh, thanks for asking, Carly.
Hey, you're welcome.
Patreon is a magical website, spelled Patreon.com, where you can give us money so that we can give you special shiz, such as videos featuring us discussing extra nonsense, bonus episodes, live stream videos. Lots of cool stuff.
Tell me more.
Well, we already have 13 Patreons, and we just launched on Friday, so I'm super stoked. That's amazing.
That's
super
exciting.
I didn't even know we had 13 listeners, Carly.
I know, me either. I'm so happy. Thanks, guys.
So, really all it is you pledge money each month. We have $2, $4, and $7 categories. The $2 category gets you all our bonus content and episodes that we do for Patreon. Just for an example, this weekend we're going to be doing an It reaction video after seeing the movie in the theaters. So that'll be something special for our Patreon members. At the $4 membership, pledge membership amount, you get that bonus content and also a monthly live stream with us.
That's so cool.
Isn't it, though, Carly?
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. And then at our $7 level, you get bonus content, monthly live stream videos, and you get intel on future episode plans, as well as we might ask you for recommendations for upcoming episodes if we're running out of ideas. Oh, and we will be giving out shout-outs to you if our $7 pledge members.
That being said, Final Girls Horrorcast is a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. That's us cheersing.
Yeah.
Our wine glasses.
Like a bell.
It does sound like a bell. However, yeah. Not wine glasses. They're just crystal and fancy. But Modern Horrors opens their beers. And I rarely have a beer on hand while I'm recording. And Amy, I feel like, is the same way. So we cheers wine glasses. But I feel like they'll appreciate it.
I like beer, but I'm more of a wine drinker while we're podcasting because it's usually night and I feel like beer is like a daytime drink.
I agree. I like to wind down with a glass of wine after work.
Yeah, totally.
So, cheers, fellas.
Cheers.
Ladies, all of the above. This week's show is specially brought to you by Elizabeth, Mikey H., Nick B., Jonathan W., Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek.
Look at all those $7 pledgers. We're going to need to split it up or something. What if we get more? We're going to have to make another level for that because
I can say all the names all day.
Like the whole podcast will be us shouting out names.
Yeah, because our listeners are awesome.
It's true. They are awesome. You guys are amazing and we're so excited and you're awesome. And yeah. On today's episode, we'll be covering a couple films that we are trying to catch up on because we are behind on our horror movie streaming watching. So today we're going to be doing The Transfiguration and Death Note. Just a heads up for you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so listen at your own risk. The Transfiguration is streaming on Netflix, and Death Note is also streaming on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you're in luck. But you might want to check them out before moving forward if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Insidious Chapter 4, which has a theatrical release date of January 5th. It's directed by Adam Robitel, who directed The Taking of Deborah Logan, and it's written by Leigh Whannell. Oh, someone corrected me and said it's Lee. Lee Whannell, even though it's spelled like Leigh, whatever. Who wrote all the Insidious films and directed the third film. The IMDb summary is parapsychologist Dr. Elise Rainier. I don't think I've ever heard her name.
Rainier, yeah. I don't know. I just assume it's like the mountain.
Got it. Parapsychologist Dr. Elise Rainier faces her most fearsome and personal haunting yet in her own family home. Dun, dun, dun! Indeed.
I may have clapped after I watched this trailer.
I can't believe how fucking scary this trailer I'm is.
So stoked. Pretty sure I jumped twice.
Yes!
And at the end.
It's fucking scary.
At the end, I was like, whoa!
Fucking.
That's what I did.
Holy shit. So, you know how in 13 Ghosts, that horrible movie from early 2000, that's also kind of awesome?
Yes.
You know how they have all these different types of ghosts that look all different ways?
Mm-hmm.
I love how Insidious totally, like, just takes that and runs with it. Because this movie has, like, 5 different looking ghosts, and they're all fucking terrifying and look completely different from one another. And I love Insidious. And Insidious 3, wasn't that great? But this looks fucking amazing, and I'm so stoked.
Key fingers, indeed.
I don't know what that's all about, but I'm terrified. It's also scary.
Oh, so good.
I can't believe how scary it looks.
I'm so excited for this movie.
Like, I'm almost glad that I don't get commercials with anything I watch, because if I was falling asleep and this trailer came on, I would have nightmares for the rest of the night. That's how scary this trailer is.
I agree. This trailer is freaking, it's great.
I watched this trailer in broad daylight with my husband sitting right next to me and the TV on in the background, and I still was so fucking freaked out.
I saw that it was out. And I was like, oh my God, I need to watch that. But I was so busy today that I didn't get a chance to. And then when I got home, I remembered and I got so excited. And I was like, oh my God, I get to watch this trailer right now. And I'm so stoked.
I'm a little bit sad because I thought that this movie was coming out in October. It used to say October on IMDb and now it says January.
I'm bummed about that too.
I'm cool to wait because it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And Chapter 3 was such a bummer to me that, like, I can wait. I can wait a little longer for something good.
I know I saw Chapter 3, but I don't remember it, so I might revisit it, even though it's probably not great.
It's not horrible. It's just, like, in comparison to the other two, it's kind of lame.
Sure.
This looks really scary.
This looks phenom. I'm excited.
Not kidding. I totally jumped multiple times watching
this. So did I. And I don't jump scare super easily, so... Stoked.
I'm just saying, super stoked. We didn't even really talk about the trailer. We just talked about how scary we thought it was. But that's okay, right?
There's lots of ghosts.
Lots of ghosts jumping out. And, you know, we got our doctor back. And she is called back to her home where she grew up. And has to face the ghosts in that home.
I love that little old lady. She's adorable.
I love her, too. I love her, too. How do you feel about the woman that plays her, a younger her?
Good stuff.
Yeah, she does pretty good.
Yeah.
And then she does a voiceover, so it's the same voice, and it's a little bit weird, and it freaks me out, but it lines up perfectly, so I'm cool with it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It was in the second and third movie, I think, where there was, like... Was it just the second one?
I honestly don't remember the third one.
Okay. I think it might have just been the second one where there's like a younger version of her. Yeah, it's the second one where there's a younger version of her and they like do a voiceover with the older woman's voice.
I do remember that.
Yeah. I thought it was good and I'm excited. I'm just excited. I'm just excited. Guys, I'm just excited.
I'm so excited and I'm so in it.
Yeah. All right,
this
cool.
is happening.
Yeehaw!
All right. Cool. So now that we just gushed about that movie for however long, let's start with our first film. We are going to talk about The Transfiguration from 2016, written and directed by Michael O'Shea. The IMDb summary is, when troubled teen Milo, who has a fascination with vampire lore, meets the equally alienated Sophie, the two form a bond that begins to blur Milo's fantasy into reality.
So, this was both of our first viewings. I'm assuming you only watched it once. Yes, Carly?
Sure did.
Sure did? Oh, sure did.
Sure did.
I thought you made up a word.
I did.
This movie is definitely different than I expected.
It made me feel uncomfortable a lot.
Yeah. Me also. I was kind of thinking it would be more like Let the Right One In. And it definitely had like kind of a Let the Right One In vibe. But there's kind of, I don't know, it's just like way harder to watch than that.
So I got back from my weekend. We're recording this on Tuesday. Got home from the long weekend and we watched this and Death Note. Death Note first. And I was like really excited about this movie. It looked really interesting and it kind of was like, I don't want to say it fell flat with me because it's not like it's a bad movie. It was just like not where I wanted to be.
This movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I didn't think it was bad. Like, it was good and it was well done. But, like, maybe I was just, like, in too, like, happy of a mindset to watch something that was so bizarre.
Because you watched it after Death Note, you mean?
Yeah. And also I had, like, a really good weekend. So, yeah. Like, I feel like I might have just been in the wrong place to watch this movie. It was really, like, intense. And I don't think that I was, like, in the mood for such an intense movie.
It's really dark and depressing.
It's super dark and depressing, and I'm not there. And so I had a hard time with it. But I also know that, and I know that it wasn't like, I don't think this movie is bad by any stretch of imagination. I understand that it's like really good, but I just like, it just didn't connect with me because of the fact that like, it is really depressing.
You weren't in the right frame of mind to watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I was so tired when I got home. And then I did the same thing you did yesterday. I watched Death Note and then immediately watched this movie. But I really liked it. It really, like, crept in my head. And, like, I had dreams that reflected it last night that were really dark. So it definitely affected me in a way I wasn't expecting. But... yeah, I thought like some parts were a little slower than I wanted them to be. But the character development's really strong. I like the storytelling methods. I liked how the characters interacted, and you really just got a feel for what Milo's life is like every day. Because it was like there's really repetitive things happening to him over and over again. In terms
of, it just
made
me feel so sad. Like I kept on saying, yeah. Like, why are they being so mean to him? Like I can't. I just want to give him a hug.
Because they're gang members, Carly, and he's a freak.
He just likes to drink blood. It's fine.
I had a hard time sympathizing with him, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to sympathize with him. So basically, just to give a quick background, because we're kind of just jumping in and not really describing the film at all, for those of you who haven't seen it, I don't really know that us talking about it's going to spoil it because it's kind of something to be experienced, but just to give you a quick overview, Milo is a teenage boy and he lives in New York City, but in like the slums. His father died and his mother committed suicide. He found his mother when she committed suicide. And it's just him and his brother. His brother obviously has PTSD and was in the military. So he doesn't really have anybody. He doesn't have like a strong figure to look up to. And he's kind of become fascinated with vampires and thinks he's a vampire.
Yeah.
He thinks he's a vampire. And he obviously has like the stereotypical serial killer type mind frame in that, you know, that we find out that he had trouble with like hurting animals and that he's really kind of disassociated from everybody else. He gets teased a lot. He doesn't smile. He doesn't really talk much. He totally seems like a serial killer. Like he's the kid in your class that you're like, I'm not talking to that kid because he'll probably slit my throat. He plays it really well. I think the acting in this is really super strong.
I agree.
Especially for something that's obviously not had a super high budget. I thought you couldn't tell. Like, you couldn't tell this movie didn't have a super high budget. The acting was amazing. The script was amazing. The way it looked was fantastic. This was Michael O'Shea's first full-length feature, and I swear to God, I couldn't tell. So... you know, kudos to that. I thought, really, it's something amazing. But, you know, anyway, so Milo finds this girl who's equally fucked up in her own way. And, well, maybe not as bad as he is, but they kind of become friends and then they become lovers. And she slowly draws him into being a person, shying away from what he thinks, him thinking him, he himself is a vampire, and yeah, like kind of draws him into humanity. So it's a really kind of beautiful, sad, tragic love story, which I've never seen a love story like that. I mean, there's a million tragic love stories. This is something really different than I have ever seen.
I agree. The character development was phenomenal in this movie.
It really was. This is not easy to do. Like, the writing in this is truly awesome. Like, yeah, really, really good.
I really liked his brother a lot and their relationship, because you can really tell how their mother's death really affected them in different ways.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, like, Lewis, his brother, is obviously fighting his own demons, and they're mm-hmm. not... they're not expressing their frustration to each other. They're really separate people. But you still get the feeling that Lewis cares about Milo. He just doesn't know what the fuck to do.
Absolutely. Because he's
not a parent. He's not a parent. He's fucked up. He's been through a lot of shit in his life. And he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to be a parent. And he knows Milo is fucked up. But he doesn't know what to do about it. But I love seeing the softening of that relationship throughout the movie. And
me too. And them really kind of just be able to, like, relate to each other.
Yeah, and it really starts off where they're, like, polar opposites, and then they're slowly drawn together and in a beautiful way. So they have a really great arc as well. It's just so sad. This whole movie is just so sad. And, like, strangely realistic. Realistic. Yeah. Like, really, like, scarily
except realistic. For, like, the blood drinking, like, the legit blood drinking.
Yeah.
This could, this is a thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, like, it could be real. Like, he's not a legit, it's not like he's growing fangs and drinking some of, he's stabbing them and drinking their blood. Like.
Oh, I'm not saying that it can't be real.
Oh, yeah, no, this could totally be real. I'm just saying it could totally be real. It's not, there's no supernatural things happening. There is maybe a point where you're wondering if there's something supernatural. Like, at the beginning, I was a little bit like, well, it's called the Transfiguration. Is he going to slowly turn into a vampire or something because he's acting like a vampire?
I kind of thought that too.
And that's kind of what he thinks is going to happen, right? Because he has this calendar and he has special days marked off in every month of the calendar in which he has to feed. And we come to find out that that's the day of the month that his mother died. Right. That's the first time he tasted blood. Because, yes, he did drink his mother's blood, and that's incredibly horrifying. But
yes.
But well, maybe he didn't drink it, but he tasted it. Still, yeah.
But anyway, transfiguring into a human, which is what you kind of...
Exactly. So it's more symbolic, yeah, I guess. But you don't really know at first if that's the way it's going to go or not. I don't know. It's really beautiful. It really is. It's just heart-wrenching. The bullies, a.k.a. gang members, are really horrible. Like, they don't even beat him up. They just, like, push him to the ground and pee on him. Like, that's some fucked up shit. His whole life is just so tragic. It's just really sad. But it is nice to see, like, a really good horror movie with, like, a mostly black cast. Like, we don't see this very often. And it's, like, nice to get, like, a different story, a different perspective, and just... really, really well written, and just, it's great. And like I said, the acting's just fucking phenomenal.
So good.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say enough good things about it. I was really impressed. Impressed with it. And like I said, it was a little bit slow in some parts, but I think in comparison to, like, Let the Right One In, it was pretty well paced. Because Let the Right One In is pretty slow too. It's kind of similar, and he talks about Let the Right One In a couple times during this movie. I could definitely see some similarities.
I like that they kept bringing up Twilight.
Yeah, Twilight.
I was like, Twilight!
Yeah, because Sophie loves Twilight, and that's like her way to try to understand his vampire obsession. He's like, no.
He's like, that's not it's real. Like,
it's so much like a horror fan to be... to have someone be like, oh, I like Twilight, and be like, that's not a horror movie. But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, I hope people don't now think that people who are obsessed with horror movies are like this guy. <'Cause> we're mostly nice people.
Twilight sucks.
Yeah, but he was did a lot of like, vampires don't twinkle.
So funny.
I read Twilight and it sucks. He's definitely on the spectrum or something. There's like, I don't know. He's so off. And I wonder, so we didn't get a lot of flashbacks to him before his mom died. So we don't really know if he's always kind of been withdrawn and strange or if that happened as an effect of his mother's dying.
Right.
And finding his mother dead. So we don't really know. I kind of feel like he was probably a little bit fucked up before then, and that kind of just threw him over the edge. But I don't know. I don't think people are made to be this way. I think that you're born with these kinds of issues typically. But mm-hmm. What do I know?
No idea.
I
don't know what you know.
Well, you know, I think that circumstances can affect it, but I think if you've got like he has like OCD tendencies and he has like sociopathic tendencies.
Sure.
Not sociopath, psychopathic tendencies. I mean, I would think that's something you're more born with, but I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know that that's completely that way. I don't know what I'm saying. but he had so many horror movies like lined up. Well, they're all vampire movies, but it was just like so cool to see like
his Nosferatu art was so awesome.
Yes. He so did. Awesome. He had some really cool Nosferatu art, and he took Wanted. Sophie to the movies and they saw Nosferatu.
Yes.
And he had Dracula, Lost Boys, and Fright Night VHS tapes lined up. I was up.
Like, yes, these are solid. I would would watch all of those.
And he also like did some shout outs to some lesser known vampire movies like Martin and Near Dark and Let the Right One In, which people don't talk about as much as vampire movies. I mean, dude knows about vampires.
All right? He does.
He did his homework.
He loves them.
He's read books about it. He drew diagrams on how to suck blood. He was into it. He had his little pen knife. Fuck. He was creepy. He was creeping me out.
Basically the equivalent of a cane sword.
I'm not familiar, but...
But the cane's like... It's like a cane, but then...
Oh, okay. Got it.
Cool.
But with a pen. I thought you were referring to like a character or something.
No.
Were you a little bit surprised when Milo and Sophie had sex?
No.
I was. Because he doesn't seem like he has any emotion at that point, so it's kind of, I don't know. Like, he does,
I mean, he doesn't, but he's definitely intrigued by her, and he has been the whole, ever since he first, like, saw her, you know, he's intrigued by her, for sure.
Yeah, their relationship is really kind of interesting. You can tell he really starts to care about her at a certain point. He was always nice to her, like, you know, from their first interaction, he was pleasant. As pleasant as he could be anyway. Helped her with her bags and...
He seemed to be nice to everybody that was nice to him, though.
That's true. He wasn't rude. He was polite. Maybe not nice, but polite is more of the word, I think. Because he's not talkative. He's not friendly. But he wasn't, like, shitty to anybody. Except for the people he killed. And he was pretty shitty to them. Did you notice he mostly only killed white old dudes? I mean, with the exception of one person.
Yeah.
Kind of like that part.
And that girl, the baby.
Oh, that was the worst. This movie does something I've never seen in a movie, in that it has its main character kill a child in cold blood, and at the end you still feel for him and side with him a little bit. Like, That's unheard of. I can't think of any movie that does that. Carly's thinking.
I don't think I have anything.
There isn't one, Carly. I swear to God. And I, up until the very last scene in the movie, I was mad at him after that. Like, I was like, you can't come back from that. You are evil. You are now. I now think you are an evil person. There's no coming back from it. But then he fucking flipped it on me at the last minute. I was like, God damn it.
You're like,
I'm not supposed to like you. I'm not supposed to side with you. You're fucked up.
He knew what he was doing.
That was still fucked up, though. He shouldn't have killed that little girl. He really shouldn't have. He really shouldn't have. But he somehow got me back almost on his side at the end. I even wrote that. No coming back after that, dude. No coming back. You're fucked. You're fucked for the rest of your life. But he does it for a reason. He gets back at his shitty gang members and flips it back.
Figures out how to kill himself because he can't kill himself because he's a vampire.
Takes control of the rest of his life, the rest of his short life. Oh, man. Really good. Recommend it. Yes. Do it. Watch it. Go.
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 Go, but make sure you're not in, like, you're a good place.
Yeah, please be aware that this is super depressing.
This is a depressing movie.
Yeah.
You need to be, like, in the right headspace to watch this movie. Because I wasn't. And, like, but I was very aware that I wasn't. So.
You also don't want to be super depressed when you watch this movie either, though. No. You want to be pretty even-headed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Know what you're getting into.
Yeah. Just be aware.
Be aware of it.
It's kind of depressing, but it's a really good and totally worth a watch. A really great, amazing effort from Michael O'Shea. I'm excited to see what else he can come out with. Definitely would like to see more from this director. And he applied to Cannes in 2016 on like a whim, but then it became the official selection of Cannes. So good thing that he did that, right? Kind of amazing.
Always take a chance.
I guess so. Fuck. That's pretty rad.
That's super cool. Good for him.
I mean, how do you make that movie and not know that it's awesome? Like, you got to know that that's awesome, I would think. Anyway, are we ready to move on?
We are ready.
Okay, let's move on. Let's discuss Death Note 2017, directed by Adam Wingard. Of your next The Guest and Blair Witch fame.
Of The Guest fame.
The Guest, especially The Guest. Written by Charlie... Oh, fuck. Come on. With this last name, really.
Oh, God.
Parlapanitis. Charlie Parlapanitis and Vlas Parlapanitis and Jeremy Slater. The IMDb summary is a high school student named Light Turner discovers a mysterious notebook that has the power to kill anyone whose name is written within its pages and launches a secret crusade to rid the world of criminals. So, Carly, you have seen some of the anime?
Some, not all.
You have read any of the manga comics?
I have not.
I myself have not read any of the comics, and I have seen the first three episodes of the Death Note anime. I watched it solely for this episode, but I watched the anime before I watched the movie, so I had a good idea. I had a good feel for most of the characters. I really liked the anime, what I saw of it, and I will continue to watch it after this. I'm not going to stop. I know on Modern Horrors, Jacob said that he watched five of the anime and didn't want to watch anymore, and he didn't like it. I didn't feel that way at all. I was really into it, especially after the second episode. I felt really, like, excited to watch more and really wanted to watch more. Unfortunately, I just didn't have a lot of time to do that.
Yeah.
Been traveling and stuff. But what I did see, I really enjoyed. What was your impression of the anime before watching
this? I liked the anime.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, if you want to watch the anime, it's on Netflix, and I recommend it if you haven't seen
it. I do too. At least check it out. It's fun. I like anime, though. Me and my old roommates used to watch Dragon Ball Z all the time.
I like anime, too, but I like, you know, the Studio Ghibli movies.
Yeah, that's totally. You know,
that's like my anime that I'm familiar with.
But I also knew going into this, so I started watching this before we decided to do it as a movie. When it came out, I watched a little bit of it and I wasn't really into it. But then I kind of like heard about the backlash that was a little bit happening here, with people just being very critical, I guess. And so upon my second viewing, I actually really enjoyed it.
I liked it too. I didn't love it. But I thought the directing was really good. I'm really impressed with Adam Wingard in this. Like, I thought the shots were really cool, especially towards the end. There was a really great chase scene, which I thought, like, looked fantastic.
Yeah.
There's really great color, which Adam Wingard's really great at color. A lot of, like, the ending scenes, like the last few scenes, really reminded me of The Guest a little bit, because there's definitely more of like an action look to it. Lots of colors. The music is fucking awesome. I was super stoked on the soundtrack.
So good.
I want Adam Wingard to like be on Spotify and I want to just listen to all of his songs, like everything he has on there.
So good. It really sets the tone, and there's Adam, he definitely has his own he has a very unique style of filming and of directing,
yeah.
And everything like feels very, I don't know, appropriate to what's happening in the story. And
yeah.
So when I started watching this movie, like I was on board with all the things that were going on, but I did not like L when I first saw him. Like, his character threw a wrench in the story for me. And I know that it's like supposed to be super like anime style, but like the candy thing, like I get it, but it didn't really need to happen. There was nothing, like, it just kind of made me feel weird. And I was like, this guy's too much. And I really like the actor that plays him. And so, like, literally the first time I watched it, I stopped it shortly after his character comes on. And I was like, I'm going to watch something else. Like, this isn't,
yeah.
I'm not in, like, I'm out. And so the second time, though, I was definitely prepared for that. And I was like, I'm going to push through because I have to, but also because, you know, I'm going to get through this. And I really do like Light, and I like, you know, nothing else really bothered me about the movie until his character, I guess, came on. And so I pushed through and it was fine, and I ended up actually like really liking it.
I thought it was kind of interesting because Light kind of reminds me, the guy who played Light reminded me of Dan Stevens a little bit.
Really?
But not Dan Stevens in The Guest. Dan Stevens in that X-Men show.
But not in a sexy way, in a Legion drug addict way.
Yes, doesn't he kind of look like Dan Stevens in Legion a little bit? Like the hair and everything? Like,
no.
Every time I saw him, I was like, oh, that's Dan Stevens in Legion.
No.
I totally thought that the hair is like exactly the same and he has a total Dan Stevens face. But not like sexy Dan Stevens. Like,
not a sexy
young,
Dan Stevens.
Young, dorky Dan Stevens.
Amazing.
So there was so much backlash about this movie, which I think is excessive.
Oh, it's so excessive.
I understand loving something and having a movie be shitty. And I understand that feeling. Carly definitely understands that feeling. Adam Wingard did this to her just last year with Blair Witch. She was furious.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. But did you write Adam Wingard hate mail?
No way, because it's not his fault, probably.
No. Well, and here's the thing. Adam Wingard didn't write this movie at all.
Exactly.
He did zero writing. And the writing is the only part of this movie that's a little off. I thought that the way everything looked was pretty awesome. The way Ryuk looked, I thought was really good. I'm not going to lie. Ryuk fucking freaked me out the first time he showed up.
I enjoyed him.
I really liked it. I wish that he acted differently, like his dialogue was different and the way he did things was different, but that's like a story thing. That's not a directy thing.
Yeah. My thing is that he reminded me, and I don't know if it was maybe just because it was Willem Dafoe, but like he reminded, like I just, all I could picture was the Hobgoblin or the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. And so that threw a wrench in it a little, like slightly for me, but like I really liked the way he looked. And
I didn't think he looked anything like Willem Dafoe, and he really didn't. Like, I couldn't even hear Willem Dafoe's voice. I was surprised because I was well aware it was him.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really, like, I didn't feel like it was him.
Facially, it was someone else, because when you watch the end credits, it's like someone else being his body. But then, like, Willem Dafoe has all, like, the little plastic dots on his face for, like,
it's all CGI. Face, I feel like it's mostly CGI. So. Yeah, there's like a little bit of like costume involved, but I think it's mostly CGI. Which is fine. It should be. In a movie like this, this is a movie you can have a lot of CGI in, and it's fine because it's like anime based, and
but
I don't care.
It didn't have a lot of CGI.
It wasn't like super CGI looking, but I'm just saying it could get away with a CGI look because of the story, I think, and because it's based on anime and comic books.
Gotcha. But I actually really liked the way that the story went, and I liked even the changes that they made to it, or like the different, I don't know, nuances, I guess. But I don't know. I enjoyed it, and I thought that it was fun. I thought the kills were creative and interesting.
The kills were cool. The kills were cool. I felt like, I don't know, I was expecting Light to be different, and I think after watching the anime, what little I watched of the anime, and maybe there's just, like, Light in the anime series has a bigger arc that I haven't found yet, or seen yet, in which he becomes, like, this very, like, moral, good human being, but in the anime, I did not get the feel that Light was supposed to be this moral and good. Like, to me, it seemed like Light was kind of egomaniacal and kind of obsessed with this book and wanted this book to be protected and with him at all times. I just didn't get the feel for that, and I wasn't even really sure why Light in the movie kept the book, other than maybe he was afraid of giving it to someone else who would do something bad with it. I don't know. I thought that that was a little weird. I felt like his character was a little off. But again, I haven't watched the whole anime, so I really don't have, I don't really know if what I'm saying is truly correct. But that was my expectation upon watching it, is that he would be a little bit more malicious, I guess.
But see, I'm okay with that being different. And I'm okay with him taking it in a different way because of, like, really just playing up the thing with his mom and, like, his relationship with his dad and, like, being really into it at first. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as shit kind of starts happening and, like, his, like, lady friend goes one way, and it makes sense to me that he would be like, no, this is not what we do. Like, we're not, I don't know. Like, his, even though I've watched the anime before, like, his, this, I was able to separate that a little bit, and it didn't hurt me in any way.
I think in terms of, like, you know, an hour and a half long movie, like, they didn't do a bad thing in having him be this way, because, I mean, it's a short movie and it's about more than him. So
exactly.
It's hard to show such a large arc with a character.
It's not like you have a bunch of 20-minute episodes are all going to lead up to something. Like, you have an hour and a half.
Yeah. I'm not, like, upset about it. It's just not where my expectation was. Because I thought that that was the most interesting part of the anime series, was because Light wasn't this, like, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't all good. I thought he was a really interesting character. I thought that his, like, rationalization on his morals changing a little bit was really kind of fun to watch. That's kind of why I think taking that away kind of drops a level out of this movie that I think it could have had, but I'm not really sure how it could have been played out differently in the movie, I guess. It's a hard thing to do, and it's a hard thing to do to please people who are fans of the comic books and the anime series, totally. I know quite a few of our listeners are really big fans of the anime series, and actually wanted us to talk about it in that way, and also wanted us to talk about whitewashing and things like that. So maybe we can touch upon whitewashing for a moment. Although,
I understand both sides of the spectrum.
I do. But I also don't necessarily think that this 100% qualifies as whitewashing. Only because, like, is the American ring whitewashed?
Exactly.
Is the American grudge whitewashed? I mean, you're taking an Asian story and you're adapting it for American audiences. Well, I do agree that we could have had a little bit more diversity in our cast. Whitewashing is you take a white person who's supposed to be playing an Asian character and makes them an Asian character. That to me is whitewashing. Taking a story from a different culture and bringing it to a different country and adapting it for that country's audience, that's to me not whitewashing. That's Americanizing or something. I understand where people are coming from on the whitewashing thing, and please, if you have a different point of view, I'm totally 100% ready to hear it. If you think I'm totally wrong with the whitewashing thing, but that's my understanding of what whitewashing is. Like,
I assume the same thing. It's like, and this is like probably a really stupid analogy, but I am someone who comes from a heavy theater and musical theater background. But like, if I go see like Rent in Asia, I'm not expecting to see an all white cast living in New York. Like, I'm expecting to see like their adaptation of it. Like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're expecting to see a bunch of Asian people.
Yeah. Being like Mimi Marquez, who's clearly Spanish.
Right.
But like, you know, like, I don't know.
But these characters, I mean, be strongly based in Japanese culture. But agreed. But the movie isn't strongly based in Japanese culture. It's a reimagination of the story happening in America. So, I get where people are coming from and being upset about it. And yes, I do agree there probably could have been some more Asian characters. But in general, I think there could be more Asian characters. I don't think it's specific to this movie. I mean, in general, let's have more Asian people in movies. In general, let's have more Black people in movies playing more central roles. But
real this and is, always welcome. Right. Like, it should sure. just that just should be a thing. It shouldn't.
Sure.
I don't know.
But saying this movie should have more diversity is not the same thing as saying that this movie is whitewashed, because it's not the
Agreed.
Same thing.
Agreed.
This isn't Mickey Rooney playing an Asian guy in. Jesus. In Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's not the same fucking thing. It's not. This isn't Peter Sellers playing an Indian man in the Party. Okay, this is like,
yeah,
it's not the same thing. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, to me, that's what whitewashing is. This is not whitewashing. This is Americanizing. And yes, we need more diversity, but we also need more diversity in general. And I don't want to claim that this movie is like standing alone in this, like, being an asshole and not having diversity. I mean, yes, all fucking movies need more diversity in general. But at least there is some diversity in this. There are some main characters that aren't white. Not a lot, but there are some. And, I mean, I'm just talking in circles now. But, you know, I'm not 100% defending it, but I also don't think it's whitewashing. My opinion. Please feel free to tell me if you think I'm wrong. I would love to hear your opinion. I am not the most knowledgeable person on the planet. I'm a white woman. So what do I know about that? Anyway. What else?
Woo!
Just talked a lot.
Yeah, so long story short, I had fun with this movie.
I did too. I did too. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But I did like it. Dad's sideburns were really distracting. I wish his sideburns weren't so distracting. What else? Oh, I also wanted to mention that Mia is watching Phantasm in one scene, and I got really excited about it.
So good.
And the soundtrack's amazing. That is
a all. Lot of Mia and Light's opening shot, the like at the beginning of the movie, reminded me a lot of Twilight, and it made me giggle inside.
Did it really? I had, for some reason, I had like a really strong Donnie Darko feel at like the beginning of that movie.
Oh, they're like staring and like yes. heavy breathing. I was like, am I watching Twilight a little bit?
I just thought because everyone was so brooding in the
everyone
beginning
looked
that reminded
so hungry.
I thought it was more like everyone looked really brooding, so it kind of reminded me of Donnie Darko.
So funny.
I love Donnie Darko.
I do too. It's so good.
Okay, anything else to say?
Except for the director's cut. The director's cut's terrible. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't like the director's cut either because they changed the music. I was really upset about that.
Well, they also were like, they were like, oh, remember all these scenes that we implied? Well, we're going to film them because you're stupid and you can't figure it out for yourself. I hated the director's cut. Sorry. Yeah.
All right. You ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go. Let's start with our newest segment that we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week.
This week's question is, you find a death note. What do you do and why? Do you use it to kill anyone you don't like? Use it to kill all evildoers, or quickly get rid of it?
On Twitter, we have at Laskathuli, who says, it so happens that everyone I don't like are also evildoers. What a coincidence. They don't like me either, so it's fair game. Whatever guy, my favorite.
You love the whatever guy.
I do.
I do not have the patience to type that out.
I hotkeyed him, man. I use him often.
Oh, did you? I would have such a hard time doing it. I noticed that you use the whatever guy a lot. No one knows what we're talking about. It's like a guy, it's like using slashes and dashes to like make a shruggy guy.
But then he has a half smile.
You know, there's an emoticon button that you could use instead of that.
I appreciate his whole experience.
You like the arms being up.
I really do.
At the Giant Bee With You says, get rid of it. I don't need a Mario Golf wanting demon around at all. So I had to ask him because I didn't get the joke. But apparently in the manga, Ryuk really likes Mario Golf.
I like it. At Grim Horror says, use it for anyone I don't like because I hate people. Death emoji, death emoji, death emoji, beer cheers, peace sign.
Oh, thank you for shouting out all those emojis.
You're welcome. It's important.
At MJ Hogan 29 says, quickly get rid of all that shit. With my anxiety and panic disorder, the last thing I need is the responsibility of who gets to live and who dies.
Cheers, brother.
Yeah.
Japer underscore, is that right?
Sure. I don't know.
Underscore
how would
I Chris? Know? Yeah. I don't know. You always know. You're so smart.
I don't. I just make up stuff and claim it's fact.
Yeah. Option 4, keep it locked away so no one else can use it. But if someone killed my wife, burn the world in righteous anger.
Ooh. At Mystifying says, you trying to get us in trouble with the feds?
That's a fair question.
I replied to her and told her that she could direct message me and I would keep her anonymous, but she chose not to do that. I don't blame her. But we're all thinking it, girl. We're all thinking it.
We are, yeah.
We know what you mean. We know what you mean.
At Mr. Deadman DT says, politicians would be dropping dead.
Oh, man. Again.
Serious business.
Yeah. Instagram, RileyQL says, use that 2-day buffer to influence some rich person to give me lots of money. Then burn the page so they don't die, and then pass the book on. Kind of genius.
Monsters and Lipstick says, quickly get rid of it. I'd burn the entire book if I survived long enough to finish the job. No one should have that kind of power.
Mm.
I like it.
On Facebook, we have Joe D, who says, God of Death and Justice seems like a good plan. Also, bye-bye, Bono. Wow.
We're calling people out. Shots fired.
Shots fired on Bono.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Don A says, keep it for later. You may need it in the future.
Nice. John M says, absolutely get rid of it. I feel like the humor of causing aggressively ironic deaths would be overshadowed by the crippling guilt of mass murder. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Dave Z says, use it to kill evildoers. I have a very short list to take care of that would change my family's life for the better, but I wouldn't go crazy with the power.
Hmm. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, Carly.
What?
Justin from the Horror Business Podcast says, get rid of it. With great power comes great responsibility. And who knows what might happen with it in the wrong hands.
It all comes together.
Yeah.
Sam S. says, use it to kill anyone I don't like. I also don't like evildoers, but I already have a list. Devil face emoji.
Devil face emoji.
The purple one.
How do you feel about it, Carly?
I'm of the, I'd either get rid of it or just keep it but not use it.
I don't think Ryuk lets you do that.
Well, then I'd have to get rid of it because not my style. I'd feel too guilty.
Because in the, I mean, at least in terms of like the movie, you only have 7 days, right, to figure out if you want to keep it or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you can just like hide it or get rid of it for 7 days before he takes it and gives it to someone else.
Yeah.
So I think like you can use it and then get rid of it in theory.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of using it to get money and then not actually killing someone and burning the page and then just not using it the rest of the time.
But isn't that the problem? Is that like he would hide, like something weird would happen where like he would try to like steal that page from you or something to make you kill someone?
I don't know. I thought it was, I'm not really 100% sure that I understand all the rules. Because there is stuff that happens in the movie where I'm like, wait, can you do that? Can you, like, write this much detail in there? Like, Light is writing things like, oh, if this happens, then this, then she, then this person dies, and then this page will get burned at this time. And just, like, I don't know if it gets that specific in the comics or in the anime series, so please let me know if it does, because I'm curious. But do you know what I mean? Like, he gets really specific. He writes, like, a paragraph about someone dying. And I'm just like, that seems like you have a lot of foresight in what's going to happen that I don't really believe is you're able to do. The whole Ferris wheel thing I thought was a little
That was just crazy. Creative.
Yeah, but, like, it's a little too creative. Like, how do you know that shit's going to work out the way you think it's going to work out?
I mean, you don't. If you do, because you wrote it.
Yeah, but like, how do you know that? I guess
because you wrote it.
Okay, I guess
it's like it. I'm gonna magically. Well, I guess magic isn't a thing. But like, if it's realistic and it's something that like can happen,
that's true.
He said a shark can't attack you on the toilet, but if something is like plausible, it could happen. And so he made it happen. He's smart. He's super creative.
That's true. And he's smart.
Yeah. He was hoping that Mia wouldn't take the book so it wouldn't play out. But she did because she's a crazy bitch.
Yeah. That was kind of disappointing, but fine. All right. So do we want to talk about what's going on with us? I don't really have much to talk about.
I got nothing. I went to Big Bear this weekend and I had a great time. I haven't really watched anything new. Started rewatching Buffy.
As you should.
So good. That's really it, though. Nothing else.
I'm getting towards the end of the Chamber of Secrets book. It's pretty good.
I'm so happy that so many people have decided to start reading Harry Potter, and we talk about it on Twitter, and it's the best.
Who else is starting to read Twitter? Starting to read Harry Potter?
Don't call me out, because I don't have names.
Oh, okay. But like other listeners
are? Can we cut that out? Yeah. You didn't see that?
No, I thought I saw Tommy B saying he wanted to reread them or something.
No, someone was like, oh. Do they really get darker? And I was like, yeah. And then I was excited. Yeah.
Cool.
Don't put this in because I really don't know.
Hey, if someone else is reading them along with me, like, let's chat about it.
Yeah.
I don't like talking to people who have read them already because it's not as fun because they know shit I don't know. But like talking to people who are kind of in the same spot as me is fun, which, you know, there's not many of us. So if you are on the second book and you want to chat about it, like hit me up on social media. I'm down to chat. I was on an airplane and I was reading it and not it. I was reading the Chamber of Secrets and this nerdy looking girl next to me, I like felt like we were kindred spirits because she was like, oh, are you reading Harry Potter? Are you rereading it? Or are you reading it for the first time? She like had all these questions for me and really wanted to know how I was liking it. And it was kind of awesome. And I really appreciated that. I love having nerd moments with strangers. That's like the ultimate
reason. There's nothing like it.
No, that's like the ultimate reason to have like nerdy shirts and like clothing. Is not to like announce to the world that you like something, but just like to hope that a stranger is going to have the same interest as you and you can awkwardly talk to a stranger about your dorky interests.
Agreed, 100%.
right? That's how I feel about it anyway. Like when I wore my trick-or-treat Sam tank top to the horror convention and people complimented me on it, I'm like, I just feel so much love. People like my shirt and like my interests. Are you going to Son of Monsterpalooza this month, Carly?
I sure am, and I'm super excited about it because they're doing a whole thing on the thing, and I just want to be there to be a part of it.
I haven't committed if I'm going to go or not, and if I do go, I'm just going to go for a day. I'm going to go, drive up, and drive back same day. So
that's fair.
Which is a lot, and I don't know if I want to do it, but maybe if I can get someone to go with me so I don't have to drive both ways. Because it's like right in LA this time, right? It's not in Pasadena.
I believe so. I believe so.
I might do it. We'll see. All right. Let's close out. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for information on them or to listen to any and all of our episodes. We also have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, let me know. Hit me up on finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com or social media. Send me your address and I'll get some to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. It is so much fun and you will have the best time. You can find the link on our Facebook homepage.
Yeah. Our discussion group is bumping. Like,
I love it.
We have stuff on there basically every day. We got people posting stuff. So
I get no work done because all I do is read that thing.
And it's not just us, you know, like people are having their own discussions and we kind of just chime in. It's just a good time. I recommend it. And also remember, if you are a Patreon subscriber, look for our video up this weekend where we're discussing it. Please be patient if our video sucks because it's our first time working with video and we're not super awesome at it. I'm going to have to get some kind of video editing software and I don't even know what I'm doing. I used to be really good at video editing though, and I'm sure I can figure it out again. So we'll see how that goes.
It's going to be an adventure, guys. You're on it with us. It's the excitement.
When I was in high school, I took a cinematography class and was really good at editing video on the computer, but software has changed quite a bit since then, so I don't know how awesome I'd really be at it now. I do all our audio editing. It can't be that much different than audio editing, right?
She nails it.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Apologize in advance for how bad it's going to be. But anyway, next week, we are doing Christy, which is on Netflix. That was a recommendation from our Patreon subscriber, Elizabeth. And we're also doing The Black Coat's Daughter, which is on Amazon Prime. So please check those out beforehand if you get the chance, because we like to spoil shit. And also, I think they're supposed to be good. I've heard good things about both, so we'll see.
Super stoked.
We'll see how it goes. But until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye! Bye.